Thoughts on the Revival of Religion in New England by Jonathan Edwards. Chapter 11. The Work Not Only Genuine, but Glorious. Now, if such things are enthusiasm, the fruit of a distempered brain, let my brain be ever more possessed of that happy distemper. If this be distraction, I pray God that the world of mankind may be all seized with this benign, meek, beneficent, beautiful, glorious distraction. If agitations of body were found in the French prophets and 10,000 prophets more, it is little to their purpose to bring it as an objection against such a work as this, unless their purpose be to disprove the whole of the Christian religion. The great affections and high transports that others have lately been under are in general of the same kind with those in the instant that has been given, though not to so high a degree, and many of them not so pure and unmixed, and so well regulated. I have had opportunity to observe many instances here and elsewhere, and though there are some instances of great affections in which there has been a great mixture of nature with grace, and in some a sad degenerating of religious affections, yet there is such uniformity observable that it is easy to be seen that in general it is the same spirit from whence the work in all parts of the land has originated. And what notions have they of religion who reject what has been described as not true religion? What shall we find in answer those expressions in Scripture? The peace of God that passes all understanding, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, in believing and loving an unseen Savior, all joy and peace in believing God, God's shining into our hearts, to hear the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, having the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us, having the Spirit of God and of glory rest upon us, a being called out of darkness into marvelous light, and having the day star arise in our hearts. I say, if those things that have been mentioned do not answer these expressions, what else can we find out that does answer them? Those that do not think such things as these to be the fruits of the true Spirit will do well to consider what kind of Spirit they are waiting and praying for, and what sort of Spirit they expect He should produce when He comes. I suppose it would generally be allowed that there is such a thing as a glorious outpouring of the Spirit of God to be expected to introduce very joyful and glorious times in religion, times wherein holy love and joy will be raised to a great height in true Christians. But if those things that have been mentioned be rejected, what is left that we can find wherewith to patch up a notion or form an idea of the high, blessed, joyful religion of those times? What is it that any half of a notion of, that is very sweet, excellent, and joyful, of a religious nature that is entirely a different nature from these things? Those that are waiting for the fruits in order to determine whether this be the work of God would do well to consider two things. Number one, what they are waiting for, whether it be not this, to have this wonderful religious influence that is on the minds of people over and past, and then to see how they will behave themselves, that is, to have the grace subside and the actings of it in a great measure cease, and to have persons grow cold and dead, and then to see whether after that they will behave themselves with such exactness and brightness of conversation as is to be expected of lively Christians, or those that are in the vigorous exercises of grace. There are many that will not be satisfied with any exactness or laboriousness in religion now, while persons have their minds much moved and their affections are high. For they lay it to their flash of affection and heat of zeal, as they call it. They are waiting to see whether they will carry themselves as well when these affections are over. That is, they are waiting to have persons sicken and lose their strength, that they may see whether they will then behave themselves like healthy, strong men. I would desire that they would also consider whether they be not waiting for more than is reasonably to be expected, supposing this to be a really great work of God, and much more than has been found in former great outpourings of the Spirit of God that has been universally acknowledged in the Christian Church. Do not they expect fewer instances of apostasy and evidences of hypocrisy in professors and those that for the present seem to be under the influences of the Spirit than were after that great outpouring of the Spirit in the apostles' days or that which was in the time of the Reformation? And do not they stand prepared to make a mighty argument of it against this work if there should be half so many? And, number two, they would do well to consider how long they will wait to see the good work of their good fruit of their work before they will determine in favor of it. Is not their waiting unlimited? The visible fruit that is to be expected of a pouring out of the Spirit of God on a country is a visible reformation in that country. How great a reformation has lately been brought to pass in New England by this work has been before observed. And has it not continued long enough already to give reasonable satisfaction? If God cannot work on the hearts of a people after such a manner as to show his hand so plainly as reasonably to expect it should be acknowledged in a year and a half or 2 years' time, yet surely it is unreasonable that our expectations and demands should be unlimited and our waiting without any bounds. As there is the clearest evidence from those things that have been observed that this is the work of God, so it is evident that it is a very great and wonderful an exceedingly glorious work of God. Is it certain that it is a great and wonderful event, a strange revolution, an unexpected, surprising overturning of things suddenly brought to pass, such as never has been seen in New England, and scarce ever has been heard of in any land? Who that saw the state of things in New England a few years ago, the state of things which had become settled, in the way that we had been so long going on in, would have thought that in so little time there would be such a change. This is undoubtedly either a very great work of God or a great work of the devil, as to the main substances of it. For though undoubtedly God and the devil may work together at the same time and in the same land, and when God is at work, especially if he be very remarkably at work, God, Satan will, to his utmost endeavor, intrude and by intermingling his work, darken and hinder God's work. Yet God and the devil do not work together in producing the same event and effecting the same change in the hearts and lives of men. But it is apparent that there are some things wherein the main substance of this work consists, a chief effect that is produced in alteration that is made in the apprehensions, affections, dispositions, and behavior of men, in which there is a likeness and agreement everywhere. Now this, I say, is either a wonderful work of God or a mighty work of the devil. And so is either a most happy event, greatly to be admired and rejoiced in, or a most awful calamity. Therefore, if what has been said be sufficient to determine it to be, as to the main, the work of God, then it must be acknowledged to be a very wonderful and glorious work of God. Such a work is, in its nature and kind, the most glorious of any work of God whatsoever. It is always so spoken of in the Scriptures. It is the work of redemption, the great end of all other works of God, and of which the work of creation was but a shadow. In the event, success, and end of it. It is the work of new creation, that is, infinitely more glorious than the old. I am bold to say that the work of God in the conversion of one soul, considered together with the source, foundation, and purchase of it, and also the benefit and eternal issue of it, is a more glorious work of God than the creation of the whole material universe. It is the most glorious of God's works, as it, above all other, manifests the glory of God. It is spoken of in Scripture as that which shows the exceeding greatness of God's power and the glory and riches of divine grace, and wherein Christ has the most glorious triumph over his enemies, and wherein God is mightily exalted. And it is a work above all other glorious, as it concerns the happiness of mankind. More happiness and a greater benefit to man is the fruit of each single drop of such a shower than all the temporal good of the most happy revolution in a land or nation amounts to, or all that a people could gain by the conquest of the world. And, as this work is very glorious in its nature, so it is in its degree and circumstances. It will appear very glorious if we consider the unworthiness of the people that are the subject of it. What obligation God has laid us under by the special privileges we have enjoyed for our soul's good and the great things God did for us at our first settlement in the land, and how he has followed us with his goodness to this day, and how we have abused his goodness. How long we have been revolting more and more, as all confess, and how very corrupt we were become at last. In how great a degree we have cast off God and forsaken the fountain of living waters. How obstinate we have been under all manner of means that God has used with us to reclaim us. How often we have mocked God with hypocritical pretenses of humiliation, as in our annual days of public fasting and other things, while instead of reforming, we only grew worse and worse. How dead a time it was everywhere before this work began. If we consider these things, we shall be most stupidly ungrateful if we do not acknowledge God's visiting of us as he has done, as an incident of the glorious triumph of free and sovereign grace. The work is very glorious if we consider the extent of it, being in this respect vastly beyond any former outpouring of the Spirit that ever was known in New England. There has formerly sometimes been a remarkable awakening in the success of the means of grace in some particular congregation, and this used to be much taken notice of and acknowledged to be glorious, though the towns and congregations round about continued dead. But now God has brought to pass a new thing. He has wrought a great work of this nature that has extended from one end of the land to the other, besides what has been wrought in other British colonies in America. The work is very glorious in the great numbers that have to appearance been turned from sin to God, and so delivered from a wretched captivity to sin and Satan, saved from everlasting burnings, and made heirs of eternal glory. How high an honor and great reward of their labors have some eminent persons of note in the Church of God signify that they should esteem it, if they should be made the instruments of the conversion and eternal salvation of but one soul. And no greater event than that is thought worthy of great notice in heaven among the host of glorious angels who rejoice and sing on such an occasion. And when there are many thousands of souls thus converted and saved, shall it be esteemed worth but little notice and be mentioned with coldness and indifferency here on earth by those among whom such a work is wrought? The work has been very glorious and wonderful, and many circumstances and events of it that have been extraordinary, wherein God has in an uncommon manner made his hand visible and his power conspicuous, as in the extraordinary degrees of awakening, the suddenness of conversions in innumerable instances, in which, though the work was quick, yet the thing wrought is manifestly durable. How common a thing has it been for a great part of a congregation to be at once moved by a mighty invisible power, and for 6, 8, or 10 souls to be converted to God to all appearance, in an exercise, in whom the visible change still continues. How great an alteration has been made in some towns, yea, some populous towns, the change still abiding, and how many very vicious persons have been wrought upon so as to become visibly new creatures. God has also made his hand very visible and his work glorious in the multitudes of little children that have been wrought upon. I suppose there have been some hundreds of instances of this very nature of late, any one of which formerly would have been looked upon so remarkably as to be worthy to be recorded and published through the land. The work is very glorious in its influences and effects on many that have been very ignorant and barbarous, as I have observed, of the Indians and Negroes. The work is also exceeding glorious in the high attainments of Christians, in the extraordinary degrees of light, love, and spiritual joy that God has bestowed upon great multitudes. In this respect also the land in all parts has abounded with such instances, any one of which, if they had happened formerly, would have been thought worthy to be taken notice of by God's people throughout the British dominions. The New Jerusalem in this respect has begun to come down from heaven, and perhaps never were more of the pre-libations of heaven's glory given upon earth. There being a great many errors and sinful irregularities mixed with this work of God, arising from our weakness, darkness, and corruption, does not hinder this work of God's power and grace from being very glorious. Our follies and sins that we mix do in some respects manifest the glory of it. The glory of divine power and grace is set off with a greater luster by what appears at the same time of the weakness of the earthen vessel. It is God's pleasure that there should be something remarkable to manifest the weakness and unworthiness of his subject, at the same time that he displays the excellency of his power and the riches of his grace. And I doubt not, but some of those things that made some of us on earth to be out of humor and to look on this work with a sour, displeased countenance, do heighten the songs of the angels when they praise God and the Lamb for what they see of the glory of God's all-sufficiency and the efficiency of Christ's redemption. And how unreasonable is it that we should be backward to acknowledge the glory of what God has done, because with all the devil and we, in hearkening to him, have done a great deal of mischief. End of chapter 11, having been read by Peter John Peruse, also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.